Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another edition of On Mic with Jordan Rich. Conversation alive and well with creative people who have a lot to say and a lot to offer. And this podcast today is rather personal. 6 months ago, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Didn't see it coming, but who does? Since then, I've done a lot of work, connecting with a fine medical team, including a top-flight neurologist, weeding through all kinds of important information, separating fact from fiction, connecting with foundations, and joining the Parkinson's community in many ways. April is Parkinson's Awareness Month, so I thought I'd invite two outstanding people to join me to talk about Parkinson's disease, its impact on the individual, on the family, and the actions that we who have it can take to mitigate the condition and live a fulfilling life. It's not easy, but nothing in life worth doing necessarily is. My guests today include Kathy Thomas, a registered nurse, assistant clinical professor of neurology, and director of the Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorder Center at the Boston University Medical Campus. Then a chat with a dear friend and mentor, my boxing instructor, and the inspiration to so many of us, Brett Miller from 110 Fitness Center in Rockland, Massachusetts. The first of its kind inclusive wellness center for individuals afflicted with disease and or developmental or physical disability like Parkinson's. Brett's mission at 110 Fitness, leave no person behind. Let's all reach our full potential, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Let's get things started with my first guest, Kathy Thomas. And she joins us now on mic. Kathy, this month is very important for the obvious reasons to bring awareness to the cause of finding better treatments and cures. But I always like to start with the problem. And let's talk about the disease itself. And the numbers continue to grow. Would you comment on that?
Yes, well, thank you for doing this program to bring awareness to this condition, for sure. So Parkinson's disease actually impacts over a million people in the U.S., worldwide several million more, but here in the U.S., over a million people have Parkinson's, and we have seen an increase in diagnoses, likely because the age of onset is approximately 60. Some people are diagnosed at a younger age, some people at an older age, but the average age is about 60, and that's a really big population living now. So at least in my work, where I work with the community disseminating information and providing care, we definitely have noticed an increase in people diagnosed.
Since I was diagnosed myself 6 months now ago, I can't believe it, I've been on the trail of education and webinars, and there really is an enormous amount of material out there. What should people be wary of when they're seeking information on their own, you know, even before they're talking to a medical pro? What should they be aware of?
Right, and that's an excellent question, because Parkinson's, first of all, it impacts people differently from person to person. So what is relevant for one person may never be relevant for another. Whether we're talking about symptoms or treatments or therapies that people have. So you want to really explore what's relevant for you. But all people, even people without Parkinson's, benefit from many of the things that a person with Parkinson's, and that's to exercise. Maybe if you haven't done that previously, you're upping your game with that, to really eat well, follow a number of things to help with symptom relief. And you want to, working with your healthcare team, and your healthcare team is very important. It's your neurologist or your Parkinson's specialist, but many other people contribute to that team. For example, our rehabilitation specialist, physical therapist, speech and language pathologist, they will all be able to help you navigate or help a person navigate how they're doing. when you do read things online, which we all do, you want to make sure it's from a reputable source. There are many wonderful advocacy organizations. I work at an information referral center, which is supported by the American Parkinson Disease Association. And you will find information that is, important for people. And there are a number of those resources.
Right, right.
Here's a follow-up to a question or a point you made, and that is getting that neurological exam. Like a lot of positions in medicine, there are shortages of qualified personnel. It's just the nature of the economy and the nature of the career. It must be frustrating, and you work in this so tirelessly, but it must be frustrating to know that some people have to wait 6 or 8 months or longer to get an appointment with a neurologist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you bring up a problem that we are all facing for certain. Definitely find out who these individuals are. There are many people that are designated as movement specialists and get an appointment. And I encourage people to utilize their primary care physicians to help with that process. We maintain a list of individuals who have this specialty. Unfortunately, some people may have to wait a little longer. Just keep at it.
It's effort. Sure. You gotta work hard just as you have to exercise hard, as I'm finding out. As I was telling you and the audience, been soaking up information from really credible sources, and I wanted to talk to you just briefly and in general terms about the therapies that are coming on board shortly, but depending on trials. The major drug therapy for decades has been carbidopa levodopa, which has been very successful considering the fact that, there is no cure. I wondered if you wanted to comment on what you've seen in terms of stem cell therapy as a possibility, in terms of the patch, in terms of delivery, subcutaneous delivery of medicines, things like that. What's on the horizon that excites you?
Yeah, so they're always looking at cellular replacement. If you look back, 4 decades, they were even doing work then in new delivery systems for sure. Although these therapies are very, very important, we want to deliver the medicine so that a person has the best response or relief of their symptoms, and it lasts throughout the day. There are other great advances in understanding the differences from person to person, and also really identifying or, people early when they're diagnosed, even before motor symptoms, because we know that we can better provide treatment and therapy and hopefully develop a therapy soon that will slow or halt the progression of Parkinson's. That's really front and center of many scientists' minds.
At least we know there are billions of dollars at play when you take a look at the Michael J. Fox Foundation, Davis Finney, and, of course, the work you're doing and the work scientists all over are doing. That's exciting. Let's get back to the patients, because I'm one of them. What are the misconceptions that people who are early diagnosed, because when I heard Parkinson's, I thought, oh, crap, there goes my life. It's over. Initial reaction, denial, and anger, very much like the stages of grief. It's something I can learn to live with. Not happy about it, but I can learn to live with it. How do you focus on that?
I think you said it perfectly, that there are many management strategies that we have learned about along the way, whether it's, not to repeat, assembling a really good health team, exercise and regularly sleeping well. Sleep is a really important factor in Parkinson's care. Considering complementary therapies if appropriate, talking with other people and participating in research, very, very important. And that can be done in many, many ways, not necessarily having to try a new drug therapy, but just getting information to the scientists in a timely way. And I think those are the strategies we work with people. If, for example, somebody has a tremor and it might be disabling, we would want to concentrate on that. And I don't know, I think you said it perfect.
Honored that you gave me that kudo. I'll take it. I also wanted to ask you to comment on the non-motor symptoms, the non-motor issues, because it's not all about feeling it in your body and tremor and all that. There are other things and considerations. I just want to get the information out. What should people be thinking about?
Yeah, so certainly one of the key ones is mood and anxiety. It's been our experience that some people, or many people, may have a change in mood. And it's not that a person's been told that they have a neurological health problem, but it is actually changes in chemistry. So a person may be depressed or may have anxiety. The good news is those symptoms are treated very well. What can be troubling is when they're not identified, when the person doesn't share how they're feeling with their healthcare provider, or it's not noticed. So if you don't ask and it's not aware, you won't receive the proper treatment.
Yeah.
So some of the common ones are changes in mood, fatigue, sleep disturbance. Those are some of the symptoms that we have treatments for, and people
right.
will feel better.
And you mentioned something that's so critical, helping people get through these times, and that is socialization, connecting with people in a community, whether it be a self-help group or a support group, rather. I go to Rocksteady Boxing twice a week, and I meet my buddies. There's a camaraderie that, like anything, you want to know you're not alone and you can commiserate and also talk about other stuff. You don't have to just focus on PD.
In fact, we encourage that. Mm-hmm. So I think you're absolutely right. Staying engaged for all of us, very, very important. And we probably, at this time, we have to work a little harder to do that. So we have a really large network of support groups, and we are developing new ones every day, and they can be found on our website. And,
right. We're going to put all the websites in the show notes for everyone to capture. One more thing, and thank you for your time, Kathy. You're a doll. One more thing. It's been called the snowflake disease because very rarely are two people identifying with the same symptoms at the same time. Is that, like anything else, making it so much more complex to figure out because everyone exhibits different symptoms?
Yes. So yes and no. I think it's really important for medicine in general to be able to clearly define what a person's personal situation is so that they can better target therapy. But yes, you're absolutely right. I remember somebody that taught me mentioned you could have 100 people in a room and everyone will have a different presentation. Some that can't be seen, it may be muscle cramping or pain in your feet, and others may be visible symptoms like a rest tremor. So getting information on all of the possibilities is really important for people to better plan and manage. And
this podcast will live on forever, as my podcasts do, but it's launching here in April of 2024. I'm thrilled that there's a month dedicated to PD awareness, and I'm also very honored to know you and Brett and others who are working so hard with and for us all. And I speak for my fellow Parkies, as we call ourselves. Kathy, thank you so much, as always, for your help.
Thank you, and thank you for your great work. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Kathy. Now an opportunity to speak with Brett Miller, who's certainly passionate about adaptive fitness and inspiring the best in everyone he meets. He founded 110 Fitness in Rockland, Massachusetts, and joining the troop down there has changed my life. Brett Miller joining us now on Mike. Well, I'm thrilled to be talking with a good friend, and I will say my motivational teacher, my coach, my boxing coach these days, Brett Miller from 110 Fitness, located in Rockland, Massachusetts. How you doing, pal?
Fantastic. Happy to be here. Always an honor. Always a pleasure.
Well, you and I have done this many times before. The difference is, in the past, say the past years, I haven't been so personally involved in the Parkinson's community, but now, self-admittedly, I have been diagnosed. I have the condition. I'm dealing with it, and we'll talk about what we're doing together. I feel a lot more importantly close to this whole subject matter, as you can imagine. So thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's funny how the universe works. But, you know, being already connected as friends prior to this and then having the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, it was already like you were already plugged in halfway. So
this is the month, April, Parkinson's awareness. So I wanted to do this on my platform and start with your work in the rock steady area and in basic exercise and understanding of Parkinson's. We've talked before, and we don't have to go into how you get into all this. Let's just jump right into the methodology. Rock steady boxing. I never thought I'd be a boxer. Why does it work, do you think?
Yeah, so Rocksteady Boxing was founded back in the early 2000s when there was research done on utilizing the techniques and the sweet science of boxing to mitigate symptoms of Parkinson's. I have branched off of Rocksteady Boxing to a much more comprehensive platform, which is the 110 fitness recipe. And we utilize boxing as one of the techniques to help mitigate the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. But there are a lot of other evidence-based programs and other holistic things that we can do for our bodies and to our bodies that also contribute to, you know, protecting the dopamine cell lining, which is the neurotransmitter that we lose when we have Parkinson's disease.
One of the things that impresses me is at the beginning of each class, there's an opportunity for people to ask questions. So they're asking about nutrition, they're asking about stretching, whatever it might be, and you always have up-to-the-minute answers. So you're staying up to date with all the latest research every day, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm an ambassador for the Michael J. Fox Foundation. I'm an ambassador for the Davis Finney Foundation. I consult for the Cleveland Clinic and most of the major hospitals that have movement disorder programs in the Boston area. So, you know, I'm inundated just like a lot of us in the subject of Parkinson's during, you know, my days. But I try to stay on the crest of the wave because, again, you know, there is so much to this process. And in order to be of service and to be, you know, more complete and thorough as a business that helps people with Parkinson's, you know, I personally feel like I need to be, you know, on my A game all the time in regards to all the latest and greatest.
Well, we were talking about the exercise regimen, and it is much more than boxing, although boxing is a big part of it. I have been joking with friends. I've never been in better shape in my life because of the workout. It's an aerobic workout. You got to get the blood flowing, the heart pumping.
Yeah, it's very intense, and our platform is much more intense than what most of the folks in the world are performing. I have very high expectations and standards for all the folks that come through our door. And there is a conditioning process that's involved when you first come. As you know, it takes a little while to get there. But once you are there, there's this whole sort of phenomenon that occurs where you feel so well. And you then realize that all this time you probably could have pushed yourself a little bit further physically, mentally, spiritually, to really achieve what we achieve at 110 Fitness.
Mm-hmm. What's great about our discussion and what happens there is that it ain't ever too late. Compared to some, I'm on the younger side, and yeah. I'm so inspired by these older ladies and gentlemen. I mean, they're getting there and they're doing their thing, man.
Yeah, we have 26 to 90 in our facility right now. And, you know, the 85-year-olds are doing adventure races with us. And, you know, they've been conditioning and working with us. And, you know, with some modifications and adaptive techniques, they're able to perform. And it's incredible.
Even people who are more advanced, there are a few in the class who are obviously dealing with a lot more symptomology than, say, I am. And they may be limited, but they're going to get benefit from something like this, I guess.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, these are the folks who've had Parkinson's for, let's say, you know, 15 plus years, 26 years, mm-hmm. who didn't have a 110 fitness to go to like yourself right out of the gate. And so, mm-hmm. you know, they're playing a little bit of catch up. But, you know, if we're nothing at 110 Fitness, we are fully adaptive. We are an adaptive wellness center that is able to modify in any fashion, regardless of where you are in your journey with Parkinson's. And so, yes, all the techniques that we use for yourself or for anybody else, we can modify or adapt those so that they are still sticking to the research data for these folks.
We want people to know, obviously, this podcast goes all over the world. I mean, there are boxing programs and exercise programs in just about every major city in the country and perhaps around the world more and more. But we're talking with, I think, the best of the best. I'm one of the best guys I know. Brett, let's talk a little bit about the social aspect at 110 and why that's important too. Because when I was first diagnosed, I was like everybody else in denial and ticked off and sad and all the typical things. Now that I've come to know a lot of these people and be part of this community, it's helped. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, we believe that community is 50% of it, if not more. You know, our schedule is packed, as you know, with community events. You know, we go deep sea fishing together. We go to the orchestra. We go to the movies. We go bowling. We go axe throwing. We go rock climbing. I mean, there isn't anything that we don't do. And, you know, organically, we become this large family. And, you know, not only are we all hanging out outside of 110 Fitness, but we're also having to be accountable to each other and also be responsible in making sure that we're of service to the folks who come in that are new. And so it gives us a mission, right? And it gives us a purpose. And, you know, when someone like yourself walks through the door and, you know, it's your first time, crossing that threshold is just a huge thing for people to do. And then once you're in, you know, the job at 110 Fitness for these folks with our community development is to pull these folks in, you know, make them feel as though they're part of this family and help them get on top of this disease process. So, right. You know, the community as a whole, I think is, like I said, 60% of what really makes 110 Fitness what it is.
In the years you've been doing this and doing it so well, there have been advances, not a cure, but we're getting closer every day, but there have been advances. What excites you and what should excite the Parkinson's community?
Well, you know, there's a lot of development for all folks who are, like I said, in different processes of their Parkinson's, if you will. We have new technology that is really great for home care, right? So we have technology which has come along. We've got vibration devices out there that are help mitigating tremor. We've got home care devices so that if your mom had Parkinson's and she's home alone, you can actually track where she is or know if she falls. So we have a lot of new technology that we're using that's Bluetooth and can be done from afar. And then in regards to pharmaceuticals, I mean, there's always some new pharmaceuticals that are coming again to deal with symptomology. But now we've had a couple medical breakthroughs. One is in the science of using PET scan. And we're now, for the first time ever, able to see on scanning the alpha-synuclein cell, which we've never been able to do. That is the cell that typically folds and kind of binds and what causes a lot of the trash, if you will, that kills the dopamine neurotransmitter. So we're now actually able to see that, and we can look at progression of people utilizing the PET scan technique. Also, the breakthrough through Michael J. Fox Foundation last year in 2023, the assay test, we're now actually able to see live in people's cerebrospinal fluid the actual active folding of alpha-synuclein cells, which gives us a whole world of research projects that allows us to diagnose earlier, maybe diagnose before you even have symptoms, look at what maybe genetic traits that you might have as well, and then be able to treat it a lot earlier. And that's huge.
Well, even the advent of a good diet, the proper diet, eating the right foods, taking supplements, whatever they might be. And even, I think one point you said coffee is great. Good thing for those of us who love a cup of black coffee run once in a while.
Yeah, I always tell people caffeine's the drug of choice for Parkinson's. It does. It stimulates the nerve endings. And it actually helps pick up dopamine neurotransmitters quicker, right? Because they're just a little bit more agitated. So yeah, we love our coffee as long as it's not, you know, keeping you up all night or keeping you in the bathroom.
Hold the cream and sugar too.
Exactly.
Really looking for a healthy cup. I want to jump back before we finish with you on the exercise. I absolutely feel great after every session and I've upped my exercise. I'm there with you 2 days a week. I have a trainer 2 days a week and I work out every other day on my own. It was slow to start that, like any good habit, you feel more comfortable doing it as a habit. Your advice to people who have not yet started or haven't gotten into the retinue, what's the best advice to keep going?
Well, the best advice I'm going to start with just to get involved and start is if you look, again, I always fall back on research because that's what I do. But if you look at the quality of life research graphs that we have for people who wait 3 to 5 years post-diagnosis, who have Parkinson's, their quality of life starts to kind of drop off in the charts quite quickly. Whereas the people who are, you know, active in participating in some form of exercise program or research evidence-based program for Parkinson's, those folks can really just kind of keep that, you know, even as they start to go through their process where they're either staying on the same medicine, having the same symptoms, but things are not progressing. And a fine example of that, we just had somebody who came off of an 8-year study, and she is reporting that she has not changed since her diagnosis.
Yeah, she's the redhead, and I call her my heroine. I absolutely love her to pieces, and she's so spunky and energetic, but she's also somebody who's done the hard work, and it pays off.
And continues to do the hard work every day.
And that, to me, is a personal inspiration. I know I'm doing the right thing at the right time. Before we close out, one of the things that happens, and I've only been coming probably 4 to 5 months, is recognition of people after a certain level of achievement. And you actually play the Rocky theme on the computer that, you know, pumps music throughout and have a little ceremony. Those things are just as important. I left with chills that day when I saw that.
Yeah, we like to recognize everybody for their hard work because it's a lifestyle change, as you know. I mean, my platform has 10 things on it, but those 10 things are intense and a big difference for a lot of people who may not have been living that lifestyle. And so everybody typically receives a boxing name after 6 months of being consistent with our program. And they get a certificate that's awarded to them. And yes, we play the Gonna Fly Now by Bill Conti, which is the Rocky theme. And everybody, like you, just like you, you're like, you look forward to receiving that, but also you're so happy for these folks because you know, because you're experiencing it, like you see the difference in these people's demeanor, their stature, their confidence, and they're just happy to be there. So,
and an offshoot of all this is I can throw a pretty good punch now, and I've never been the guy in the fight who's come out ahead. I feel much more stable and ready to go if I need to. I'm not looking to fight anybody by
Yeah, our standard's pretty, as you know, pretty disciplined, knowing punch counts, combinations, and footwork. So, yeah.
Well, nobody wants to be in any position to have a chronic disease, but if you're going to be facing Parkinson's, you want to be facing it with people like Brett, and there are many of them around the country and around the world who are doing a great deal of wonderful things to help us through. So thank you for joining me. I'll join you in your gym as I do normally, but you're on my turf and I appreciate it right now.
Thank you so much. As an honor, always.
Thank you once again to my two wonderful guests, Brett Miller of 110 Fitness, that's 110fitness.org, and Kathy Thomas of the Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorder Center at the BU Medical Campus, that website, bumc.bu.edu/Parkinson's disease/center. Again, I'll include these and other important links in the show notes. Been a challenging 6 months for me and my family and friends, but I know this much, I am not alone and I have many resources, and so do you. Wishing you the best of luck and reminding you as always to be well so you can do good. Take care.